Welcome to the Marriage Podcast with David and Summer.
We're here to dive into all things marriage, faith, and family. Real talk for real couples.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Marriage Podcast with Dave and Summer. And we believe that every marriage can make it and that every marriage has a purpose. And so we just talk about real things and try to connect with you and give you support and help along the way. And so today we're discussing confront the inner dialogue.
Right.
This is a big one.
And I had to ask you, do you even have an inner dialogue?
I do, because we all have, I would say that, because we all have thoughts that we're navigating.
True.
Okay. And we're all telling ourselves things all the time.
That makes sense.
As a matter of fact, we all have, on average, 60,000 thoughts a day.
Mm.
80% of those are negative.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And 90% are repetitive.
Just keep
so going. We're leaning to the negative. And so how would you want to start this off when you talk, as you think about and talk about the inner dialogue?
Well, the reason why I asked if you had an inner dialogue, because my husband is a verbal processor. And so everything that comes to your mind, I feel like you just say. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, do you even have one? But that makes sense. Yeah, I think for me, when it comes to how to start it off, when it comes to the inner dialogue, there's a lot going on inside this head.
Yep.
And to know that you said 80% are negative.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they are repetitive.
90% are repetitive.
Whew.
So we're already leaning to the negative about ourselves, about others, about situations, who knows what.
We're living in a fallen world for sure.
Yep. And okay. So here's the scriptures that I want to read today, just to kind of give context to this. Romans 12, 1 and 2, these are big. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And then he says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Mm-hmm. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Mm-hmm. So I would say literally we're changed biblically when I would say we allow God to change the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that's a lifelong journey and process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in the middle of that as well as you. I think probably if I think about our arguments, it probably had something to do with an inner dialogue I was navigating.
For sure.
And I don't know about you at home or in your car or wherever you listen to this at, but I know I've had an inner dialogue at times in my head that can make me mad at you and you didn't even do anything.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. What happened, last week?
What happened last week? What?
I thought we were great. I thought everything was smooth. I'm like, when you think about a scale of where your marriage is from 1 to 10, I'm thinking we at a 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, when we were speaking at the marriage retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was your fault.
No.
But the point is,
don't even play that. I was thinking we were at a 10. We just did a marriage conference.
We just
had lobster.
Yeah.
A lobster again.
And we were in Maine.
We were with no kids.
No kids.
And lobster again.
And no doubt about it, that happened
that
because.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, it, no, it was. We that happened
water.
Because of the inner dialogue that we talked about and had to deal with some things in my head. And so it just goes to show that you didn't do anything to me. But the thoughts I was thinking about, I actually woke up on Sunday morning getting ready for our sessions. And in my prayer time, just kind of got hit with different narratives in my mind that then carried over into being frustrated with you when that wasn't even the case. So this is a real thing that I think all of us deal with at some levels. And some of that comes from, I would say our inner dialogue is coming from pressure points on the inside of us. So things we've gone through, things that we've navigated ourselves. So if we've been rejected, if we've been, maybe made fun of, or I don't know, if
sure.
we've had a family trauma or something, these buttons on the inside of us, when they get pressed, that's when that inner dialogue kicks in, probably at another level, which then causes us to probably act out and do things that maybe is not even, there.
For sure.
It's made up in our head.
Yeah. And I think that situation, usually we are on our game, meaning we know that we will get spiritually attacked because we're about to do a great thing for the Lord, do a great thing for the kingdom, able to bring marriages back to restoration and redemption. And so usually we're on our P's and Q's. What's interesting, we just had, I don't know when you guys are watching this, but we just had great times, you know, happening in our church and it's flourishing and all the things. And, you know, I got attacked in my sleep with a nightmare that was just insane. And I shared that with you. My point of saying all of that is I thought we were good, meaning like these spiritual attacks are not going to be happening, but the enemy can, I would say, utilize those inner thoughts. And even though like you were having that, he was having this inner dialogue and I was out of the room, praying on the treadmill, come back. And he asked me a simple question and I snapped, but I don't, and this is something that I need help. Like, Lord, help me.
Say that again. Lord, help.
But like, seriously, like there's some things that you would say could be a pet peeve. And one of my pet peeves is like, this just sounds so stupid what I'm about to say, cause it's ridiculous, but to me it's real, is when there's a question, I'm like, you should already know the answer. And so he asked me a simple question about like my mom, is she going to help with the boys or something like that? And I was just like, or no, it was about her getting called into the hospital. I'm sorry. I'm giving you guys details anyway. And I was like, I don't know. And this, the way I said it.
Attitude.
I knew he was
attitude.
Ticked off.
Attitude. And I'm glad God's changing you.
I just had prayer time.
I know. I'm glad God's working on you. No, it's making our marriage better. I'm telling you that right now.
Just wait a minute. But I'm just saying, like, it just was piling, even though I said that. And what was so funny, we haven't talked about this, but I just remember laughing because he had the men's session. Sorry. Men's session goes first, and then we have the women's session. So he's...
I'm getting ready to leave the room and go teach men about how to love their wives. My wife's snapping at me. That's good. That's a good segue.
This is funny, you guys. But what's funny to me is he comes back. Like, I know he was ticked off when I snapped, and then he, like, later on, he comes back and he tries to smooth things over. Judge your best. Because you were like, I love you, babe.
I was just trying to make sure I was right before we go.
He was trying to be clean, and I was just laughing.
You were off. Here, I love what Pastor Craig Rochelle says on this.
God.
And we've said this a lot. You have to talk to yourself more than you listen to yourself.
Man.
And if we're honest, sometimes I do that and sometimes I don't as much as I should. Would you agree?
I'm sorry. Say
you're
it.
You're still
again.
Stuck. You're not even. Sometimes
you have to talk to yourself.
Sometimes that's a great statement.
Yes.
Talking to ourselves more than we listen to ourselves. And of course, we believe that we talk to ourselves in the context of the Word of God. But sometimes, some days, I don't talk to myself as much as I should.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy how thoughts, which is just an idea, a thought is just an idea.
Right.
It's just an idea on a certain situation. Could be true,
could
be a lie.
Yeah.
You don't even know. And sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. But the point is that, I mean, this thing on the inside of our head can dictate moods, our words, our actions, our outlook, our beliefs. I mean, it can take us into 50 directions and we're going, you know, crazy. So to me, it's important that we just all remember that for married couples, we have to talk to ourselves by the Word of God.
Yes.
Another way of saying this is, As the world says, follow your heart. But as Christians, we believe we're to lead our heart, not follow our heart, because the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that our heart is wicked. And so it's deceitful.
Yeah.
And it is. Without God, it is. So our thoughts are linked to that, to me, our heart. We have to, you know, I would say determine, because really the things our lives have gone through, what our heart has felt, is really triggering our thoughts. And if we don't capture that and tell it what to do by the word of God, then we're going to get into a mess.
For sure.
And we're going to tell ourselves lies. And the devil's telling us lies.
Yeah.
And so really, you know, I think there's two parts to this podcast today. And that is that you and I talk to ourselves, the word of God. And we do that in different ways individually. We're working on doing that together, I would say, in our prayer time. Because we pray privately. And then we do come together. I would say not that long. We don't pray like, you know, minutes or hours together. That's more privately. But we do pray together. We have to talk to ourselves.
For sure.
Because if we don't, we're going to believe lies, say lies, and act on lies, and we're going to get ourselves in trouble.
Well, you think about Eve. I mean, the enemy gave her that suggestion, gave her the thought of, oh, you know, do you really, I mean, do you want to be like God? Don't you want to be like God if you eat this fruit, you know? And just to see, I mean, obviously we don't know her thought pattern, but we know what the outcome was.
Right.
And so she did contemplate like, yeah, maybe I want to be, I want to be like God, she where, you know, she forgot that she was made in his image. So I think about Philippians, you know, don't be anxious and worry about anything, but pray about everything, with supplication and all that. And then the peace of God will surpass all your understanding. But when it goes to, then you meditate on those things that are true and noble and just and all that stuff. So it's all biblical of what psychology and, you know, mental health coaches are doing. It all comes from the principles of the word of God.
Totally.
Where it really starts with our mind first.
That's right.
And us speaking things. And, you know, the, you know, when you mentioned Romans, you know, don't be conformed. Like, I seriously have to remind myself, I'm not going to be conformed to my old ways, my old habits. Even though I slipped up that one day, but you know, it's a continual journey of not being conformed, but that's what I love about, the power of repentance and the power of making it right and the power of coming together and actually sharing like, oh, I did this wrong. I got this wrong. How do we move forward? And then even us, you know, confronting the inner dialogue, whether it's us talking to one another or maybe you need to talk to an accountability partner or someone who is, you know, I don't know, whoever you look up to, if you will, just to like vent some stuff off. Because maybe sometimes maybe the spouse can't handle it or maybe the spouse doesn't need to hear it. But that's something that you can do as well. That's a suggestion that you can do is just to vent some things off because so a lot of those inner, I would say, thoughts are insecurities. Stuff that like we're hitting ourselves with, just punching ourselves like a little punching bag. And
it comes out.
And it comes out. It can come out on your spouse. And it can come out on other people and even in parenting, if you will. But it can come out in these different ways in friend groups. But we really need to learn how to really rewire our brain so that we, you know, the mind that is in Christ can also be in us.
And that's why, and we all have insecurities right now. All of us, you and I individually have insecurities. We all have that. And it's something that we have to figure out how to, I would say almost master and give it to God and let God be the leader of our lives. The, obviously the Savior, deliver and all that. But really in this area of insecurity, because there's a lot of people that are saved, Jesus is their Savior, but their insecurities run wild. And this is pastors, this is everybody. I mean, we all do it. So we have to figure out how to let, you know, Jesus be really over them and be healed and really capture our thoughts. And so here's what I would say for you and I. There's two, you know, there's twofold, it's a twofold thing. We have to, you know, I would say talk to ourselves and then talk to our spouse.
Yeah.
And so we have to talk to ourselves by the word of God and then let our spouse know what is the of the narrative, what is the thought pattern? What are we saying to ourselves? What are we, you know, what is this inner dialogue that's going on? And it could be just about us. It could be about our spouse, could be about our marriage. Who knows what it is? But if we can talk to our spouse what we're thinking in a I would say low-key way, so it's not an argument, and just get it into the light. Mm-hmm. So individually, you know, by myself, I'm going to God saying, God, I need you to come in and heal this insecurity. I'm thinking these thoughts and tell God. He knows what they are. But there's something about telling God our thoughts, saying, you know, Lord, I'm thinking these thoughts, and I would say call it out, and then God help me. And then we go to our spouse, mm-hmm. and then we tell our spouse what we're thinking, and then that just begins to dispel mm-hmm. the strength of this narrative, the strength of this inner dialogue that could be wrong. A lot of times, I would say a lot of times it is. When we're coming from insecurity, it's not the strength of God. It's right. coming, and this could be like small things as married couples and those that will be married, like throughout the day. You could think, you know, you're taking a nap and I'm doing the laundry, I'm doing the dishes. Man, she's just tired, but she doesn't want to help me. I'm doing it all by myself, and da, 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 da. And that can just lead to a rabbit trail of just getting upset and frustrated. Mm-hmm. Or you're, you know, bringing groceries in and he's just looking on his phone, he doesn't want to help me. Da, 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 da. Or, you know, we want to have sex, but she's making excuses, or he's making excuses. He doesn't want me anymore. Da, 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 da. And just like these little, I mean, these little mm-hmm. things start, but then if we're not careful, and you married couples know what I'm talking about, because mm-hmm. it starts very small, then boom, if we don't, you know, grab it, it just starts going into all these things. And then all of a sudden we're maybe in an argument and it was for nothing, mm-hmm. but it was just something that was in us. We just needed to get it, you know, resolved yeah. by talking to ourselves, by the word of God, and maybe as needed, talking to our spouse on big or small things mm-hmm. and getting this together, or getting us together on this subject, so we can move forward and really have a strategy.
And when you say ultimately, the bottom line is we just want to be loved.
That's right.
The bottom line is we just want to be accepted. We yep. just want to be validated or heard or seen. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really what we want. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, us coming to the Lord about those insecurities, we have to get a truth from God. Mm-hmm. We need just for him to help comfort and soothe us in those areas. I heard someone say, you know, we always want answers, but usually at times God doesn't necessarily give you an answer, but he gives you healing.
Yeah.
It's like it's always like, why did this happen? Why this, you know? And it's like, no, be healed.
Yeah.
Be healed. Rest in just being healed, accepted, loved, mm-hmm. known, all the things.
And when we say out loud what we're telling ourselves, a lot of times when we got back from Maine and we were talking the next day or whenever it was, but we were talking about our trip and argument and just whatever. When I began, no, it was that night when we got home the plane. When we talk about that stuff, when I was telling you what that narrative was, it sounded ridiculous because it was. But when it's in our head, it sounds real. Mm-hmm. And so that's the trick. Once we say it out loud, you're just like, and I even told you the next day, I was like, man, I feel like a little embarrassed. Like I even mm-hmm. caved into that thought pattern. This is stupid. This mm-hmm. makes no sense. It's cartoonish. It's mm-hmm. it's buffoonery, mm-hmm. honestly. But if you keep it in here, it becomes more real to you. It becomes more this thing, and it becomes over almost a stronghold, or it can be a stronghold. So the power of God, of talking to ourselves by the word of God and then talking to our spouse, a lot of times, if it's legit, then it will be legit once we say it. Feel me? Like yeah. if it's legit, then when I say it out loud to God and to my spouse, it's not going to be ridiculous. It's not going to be insane. It's going to be, okay, this has substance to it. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with it. But a lot of times, this inner dialogue, especially coming from wounds and insecurity, it's just stories we're telling ourselves. Mm-hmm. And once we get it out, it's like, this is nuts. Mm-hmm. Then it takes the strength away. Now we can talk, pray for each other. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And not, I would say, be made a fool of again. Mm. And then, you know, start getting strategies. When this stuff comes, no. I know what this is. Stop. And now we can start gaining traction. And when we're arguing, let's have an argument over something of substance. Mm. A lot of times, you know, I would say our arguments, if we go back to them, some of them have been needed. Mm-hmm. to talk about major stuff, but a lot of them is just pointless, which is why we can't remember what we argued about.
I can remember every time.
She can't. She's lying. But I remember you going off of me before I talked to the men on that Sunday morning. And what? I had to get it right.
Oh, whatever. But wouldn't you say, like, and maybe this is another podcast. Some people, and maybe this is you, where you have this inner dialogue, but you don't feel safe.
That's a big one.
You don't feel safe maybe to with your share
spouse. With your spouse.
With your spouse.
Some people may feel that way
and
right now.
And so that's another.
That's tough.
Yeah.
So let's speak to that. If you're married today and you're watching or listening to this, and you feel like right now in your current marital climate, you cannot talk to your spouse about the inner dialogue, what would you suggest?
Well, I mean, my first thought would be if you could get an accountability person
that
your spouse trusts and be able to talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. That's one thought. The other thought is...
And I didn't mean to cut you off, but
what? But
I was going to say, and same sex.
Yeah.
So, you know, right. if I can't talk to you, I shouldn't talk to a female.
Right.
That's stupid or vice versa. So it needs to be, I need to talk to a guy that's strong on the Lord.
Or a married couple
going, moving forward, and I keep it right. Sorry. Right. Go ahead.
So the other thought of that is if you can talk to your spouse, meaning you've never talked to him and you just have the inner dialogue that you can't, I would say, talk to him.
Yep.
Just step out on faith and just try it. Mm-hmm. Because really what we're saying is we are responsible to create a safe atmosphere and a safe environment for our spouse. Mm-hmm. It's not about, oh, you need to do this for me. No, it's about you being the servant in the marriage and creating a safe environment, allowing your spouse to be weak, allowing your spouse to feel, say the uncomfortable things, say the stupid things, say the embarrassing things, say the ridiculous things. And by creating that space, it's your responsibility to not let them feel the weakness and not let them feel uncomfortable and not let them feel whatever. I think, I will be vulnerable and say, I don't think I've done that every single time. I don't think I allowed you to, I mean, he's strong enough to be able to say it, but I don't think I truly, in our marriage throughout these years created, I feel like I'm cultivating it more, but earlier on, especially, and then finding little bits and pieces, I'm like, ooh, that doesn't look good. I didn't really create that environment or that space for you. So I think that's so important because really what we do is we go off of how we were raised. And how we think and how we feel. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you don't think like me, I have thought, it's weird. That's weird.
Yeah.
And like, but that's not right.
Yeah, it's not.
That's not healthy.
Right.
And to think that, you need to be just like me is totally off and totally wrong.
And if we can confront the inner dialogue and talk to ourselves by the word of God and then talk to our spouse, and then if we can't, to a trusted person, counselor, pastor, I would say godly friend, then we're going to get that much further down the road with our personal health, dispelling thought patterns. And then if a thought pattern is true, if there is a narrative that is true, like maybe it's true about us, it's true about our spouse, it's true about our marriage, well, I would say it's okay because the only way that's going to get solved is by talking about it. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to yourself and then talk to your spouse or the right person, and then let's take steps to move forward. Yeah. But I just want to encourage us all that really a lot of times these little things that pop up in our marriages, it's really coming from wounded areas of our own life that then are triggering narratives, I would say stories in our head. We're telling ourselves stories. We do this every day. I mean, I've had stories come to my head about it. This kid tries to hurt my kid on the basketball court. Then I'm going to go to his dad. I mean, our mind starts making movies. It's just like, and we're making movies like in our head, and nothing has happened. We're not even at the gym. We're at home having dinner. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy what our minds do. Mm-hmm. And or someone pulled, said something to me or cut me off, and I'm thinking how to go off on them. It's just like, stop. But we do this with, why are you looking at me like that? You do it too. But no. Yes, you do. But we have to figure out how to get this resolved so that we're not telling ourselves lies and then believing them.
Yeah, for sure.
And then if they're truth, let the Holy Spirit begin to heal.
Yes.
And let the Holy Spirit begin to restore. But it all comes back to talking to ourselves by the word of God and then talking to our spouse. And if we can't right now, then we think about, like we mentioned, a pastor, a trusted friend, or a counselor, and then helping us get to our spouse.
Yeah, that's the whole
to
goal.
Talk about it. So we got to get to the spouse. We got to talk at some point.
Yeah. And I mean, if you are in the position of you really haven't created that space, repent. Like, seriously, repent. Repent to the Lord and then repent to your spouse and say, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't create that space for you.
Let's get some examples real quick.
What?
And that's excellent. But like I told you one time, I said, your responsibility is to tell me what's going on. Remember this? And I said, my responsibility is to be able to be mature enough to handle
it. To receive it,
And make you okay, or make you feel safe to share. So my responsibility was to provide this place where you could share. Your job was to share. And so I think that to do what you just said, we provide a safe place by not making fun of our spouse. So if our spouse says something to us, we don't make fun of them.
Right.
Even if we say, man, Summer, that's stupid. It's not, Summer, you're stupid. It's like, I can't believe, Summer, you think that. I love you so much that I would never do that, or that's not true, or this is not,
that
no.
That thought is stupid.
Yeah, that thought is stupid. Man, I'm here for you. So that context, yes, but not making them feel stupid, saying it. We can never do that.
Don't attack their character.
We can never make fun of them. And then we can't be defensive. I don't know about any other things. I'm sure there are, but I mean, that's to me big ones. Like if you're coming and talking to me about inner dialogue and you're saying like, well, that one time, at the it was probably 10 years ago, but you went downstairs and you were crying and you weren't gonna.
Why are you telling my business?
But you've already said about this when we preach, but and then you said you felt like that I was gonna leave you. That it had been dumb for me to say why, what have I done to make you think that? No. I can't. Like been defensive, I would have missed the whole moment.
I just want to say, do you see how that insecurity can play off another person's insecurity?
Right.
It happens all the time.
Right, totally.
Go ahead.
My job was, we had an argument. You went downstairs. I went down to you to rescue my princess, my queen.
Because guys,
off the balcony.
That was the play that's in what, my mind.
See was right like, there. No, narratives, inner
on,
dialogue.
Hold on. The thought was, I've watched too many romantic
You
movies.
Have.
But anyway, it's like...
Too much love and basketball, whatever other movie you want to say.
Those are so horrible movies. Anyway, I ran downstairs. Well, I wasn't really like playing it out, but you know, you've seen them. So I ran downstairs. It was late. Our kids are in the bed. It's late. I ran upstairs to the basement because I was thinking, I'm not sleeping with him. Like, we are not sleeping in the same bed. I was like that upset. But then as I'm downstairs in the basement, I'm like, if he don't come for me.
See, women, don't do that to your man. Because I didn't know what to do. We're just trying to sleep. I was upset I wasn't asleep, be honest with you. I was mad that I had to get up early.
That's true.
And seek the Lord. And I'm up late.
You always want to. He wants to
deal. I'm dealing with this Disney you know, cartoon animated movie narrative of me coming down and rescuing you off of a balcony.
Pretty Woman at the End. That is not a cartoon.
Pretty Woman at the End. That's good.
I mean, that's horrible. I mean, she was a prostitute. That's besides the point. Besides the point. We're getting off track here.
What are you saying?
Well, I mean, that's
the point
not
is,
a good
I
movie
came
to
down.
Use.
I came down to the basement and I rescued you off the balcony.
Yes, he came down
I
into my mind.
Climbed up the vine. Yeah. Carried you on my shoulders down to safety, and you are safe in my arms.
Prince Charming.
Yes.
But yeah, so when I said that, I didn't even know where that was coming from. When I said,
right,
I'm afraid you're going to leave me. It was like an outer body experience. Like, wait a minute, what? Like what? Where did that even come from? And it just, that lie to your point of just when you just say it out loud, it just dismantles it. And so when I said it out loud, it just fell. It was nothing. There was nothing to catch it or anything. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
I don't know how we solved it, but of course, you know, you held me and stuff.
But that's my point, is that you said it, but I had to create a safe place for you to say that. And I've said things to you just, you know, more recently when I felt embarrassed about, like, man, I can't believe that narrative made me act out frustrated towards you when this is stupid. It doesn't make any sense. So we all are susceptible and we've all done it. And I think the strategy is, when you start thinking about the narrative, the inner dialogue, start talking to yourself out loud. Mm-hmm. Like, don't whisper. No, say it. And I tell myself sometimes, I'll say, Dave, be quiet. That's not true. Or I'll say, devil, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'll start speaking the word of God over myself. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. And then we go to you, or I go to you, and we talk about it. And I would say 95% of the time, it's these thoughts are foolishness.
For sure.
And then if they are legit, we work through it, we talk about it, and we have a strategy to move forward. So before we go today, I just want to encourage you, think about, maybe with your spouse, is there anything you guys need to talk about? Is there any inner dialogue that's happening that has been discussed or hasn't been discussed that should, so that you guys can go to a new place? And I would say, give each other grace, because we're human. Mm. We all have wounds. Sometimes, and I told you when we talked, I said, more than me being frustrated at you, I'm 1,000 times more frustrated with me. Mm-hmm. That would actually work. You know what I'm saying? That would actually work to get me to think that that's true or act out in a way. And so probably the same is for you, that for all of us, as much as we can get frustrated with our spouse, we're probably 10,000 times more frustrated with us, that maybe we're still thinking these patterns or frustrated. We're feeling these, you know, feelings, and we're trying to get, you know, through it.
Yeah.
And I would say we can with God.
Right.
When we talk to ourselves by the word of God, and we talk to our spouse and to our trusted person.
Sure.
And move forward one step at a time.
And maybe this is another podcast, maybe to be continued. But seriously, he shared all that, and my insecurity just flared up. And I am an internal processor. And so I started, really, it was like, I heard someone say it's stonewalling. Have you heard that?
The walls were stone.
Would you stop? Have you heard that before?
Yes.
You have? I've never heard that before.
I've heard it.
Anyway. Stonewalling,
I've dealt
and
with
then
it a lot.
In some ways it came. What did you say?
I've dealt with it a lot.
You're wrong.
All right, we'll do part two.
But
and
I'm
let's
saying,
do let's do part two on the aftermath of me talking to you, and then your response to that, because I think insecurity can trigger.
And Chow, he wanted to do a podcast while we was in this. Thank God our team was flexible. We would have been a mess. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Insecurity can trigger insecurity.
Yes.
So when that happens, how do we do it? So we'll do part two and we'll talk about that, because that happens probably to all of us as married couples and in friendships and all of it. That insecurity hits this insecurity, and all of a sudden we're cascading into, you know, whatever. And if we can learn this and get ahead of it, we can be better.
I mean, listen, and I was praying every day. I thought I was
She wasn't
good.
Praying hard enough.
No,
now, let me tell you something.
True.
So, I want to encourage you. Hope this encourage you today.
Oh, Lord.
Check out next episode for part two.
We need
please
help,
Please consider to like, subscribe, and share. We'd be honored. We're here to do our best to serve you and your spouse and your family. And we believe that because of Jesus, the best is yet to come. And can't wait to see you next time.